Anybody want to testify while I'm finding that song? God's been good to all of us, hasn't he?
Amen.
In fact,
Lord,
I'll tell you this much, he's been better to me than he has you, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. For him, I had no idea what I would be facing, really. But plus, I just want to thank him for my wife and my daughter also. That they are two that have stood behind me and they pray for me. I know my daughter does every day. Shelby does. And that's all we have is prayer today. And if we can pray, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to talk to him.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And then he can turn around and talk to us through his word. I thank God for this church, for what it means, and what they have really endured and everything, but they never have let it go to the point that where they just gonna say, "I'm gonna give up." You know, I believe this, that in the New Testament, that where they're speaking about the pruning of the fruit trees. I believe that Lord Jesus is pruning the churches today, getting all the dead waste out. Mm-hmm. And so the ones that are going to serve the Lord.
Amen. Wonderful Savior that we have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. How great thou art. Don't listen to the way I sing this now, okay? Just listen to the words of it, and I believe that you'll get a blessing. Because just think about who God is and what he's doing for us. Even though we're going through all these problems, all of us have a problem, I'm sure, if not more than one. In fact, I look around and I know that most of us do, if not all of us. And I got a special request that I'm not going to tell what it is, but I would like for you to pray. God knows all about it, okay? So remember me and my wife in prayer. And it's not us together, it's not that, so don't get that in your mind. She's a wonderful lady. I ain't gonna say I'm a wonderful man, but anyway, we get along just fine. Of course, I might go back today and she say I want a divorce. I don't know. We never know, do we?
Nope.
Hey, things will be going good all at once, gone, okay? But I hope and trust the Lord that it's don't happen that way, because everything is going fine. But there are some things in the family, I'll say that, that is causing us some problems, and I just want you to pray, okay? All right. How God, a great thou art. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thine hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Excuse me. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Can I sing one more, two verses in it? Okay. You had plenty of time, haven't we? If the Lord don't show up, we got plenty of time. If he does, we don't need these songs anyway. And we don't need the preaching of the word either because we've already had it and everything's all right. I'll tell you, everything's all right in the Lord's house anyway. Amen. Yeah. May not be in ours all the time, but it is in the Lord's. And if we'll trust him, everything's going to be all right. Amen. And when things are finished, so to speak, when we are out of this world and to a better place, I want to stroll over heaven with you, okay? If I surveyed all the good things come to me from above, if I could count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I simply ask for a favor of him beyond mortal kin, and I'm sure he would grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches have truly vanished away. We'll enjoy all the beauties where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. We'll renew old acquaintance with the friends we once knew. Then we'll meet all our loved ones and meet Jesus too. That will be a glad reunion, and there'll be much to view while I stroll over heaven with you and you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And isn't it good to be in God's house?
Amen.
I tell you, I might make a whole lot of mistakes, but I praise the Lord that he lets me make them in the Lord's house. Amen. I want to give you a little bit of testimony before I give you the scripture. The scripture's in the Old Testament, if you don't mind. But I want to give you a little bit of testimony about me. I know you know me, okay? You think you do anyway, right? But I've had a great life, I think. There's many things that's come along that I couldn't understand sometimes, but everything turned out just fine. And when you trust the Lord, as I said a while ago, it's going to turn out for you. If you live for him, You trust him, put him first in your life, and everything is going to be all right. Mm-hmm. I like to say that. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Anyway, go back a little bit to, in my testimony. I was saved when I was 17 years old. I had one more year in high school. And I couldn't talk to people too good. But God changed that. You know, I've still got a little fear in my life of standing before somebody and talking. And at that time, if the teacher had called my name, I would have tried to get up under the seat and the desk. That's just how bashful I was in my life. Brother, y'all probably already heard most of this, and some of y'all, others have too, probably. But when I got saved, finished school, the Lord blessed me. I got married a year after I got out of school, 1960, to a wonderful lady. She had her ways, I had my ways, but we, you know, put our ways together and everything was all right. But all we had two children, you know that. And I was thinking, and I told Brother Bill this a few minutes ago, I was thinking Sister Donna was talking about, you know, that what is it, the little girl?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, okay. Or is it, you know, how she is, and, right? I realize it's terrible. It is. And I thought about it while she was talking. I said, you know, I went through almost the same thing. Not quite. But we had a little grandson that was born. He didn't have but a half a heart. He had one artery to that side of the heart that he had. The other side, he didn't have anything there. So the doctor said there's three things you can do. One of the three things you can do. And one of them was that we could let him do the surgery and put that valve in there for that side of the heart to work. He said he wouldn't be able to play no sports much, anything like that, but you know, we would have him anyway, if the Lord willing. And so they also said that we can send him off where he will be on somewhere, and they can do something for him, probably put a new heart in or what, so forth. And the third thing was that we could just let him lay there and go on to be with the Lord. Well, when Lord came to me, she said, Daddy, what we gonna do? She said, first of all, we don't have the money to go to that place that he suggested, or we don't want him to go on now. What are we going to do? I said, the only thing we can do is trust the Lord and also trust the doctor to put that warning valve in. Well, he did. It was three of them that he had to do that. Babies in the same place. Where there was, one of them was first one day, and then Az was the second one that did the same thing. Was going to do the same thing, but this one that he done first time, it passed away on the operating table. And he come in there and told us all, All three families are sitting there waiting, you know. They just up and said it. They knew how we felt about it, and, you know, not knowing what was going to happen the next day. But God miraculously touched that little boy. And you might say he didn't, but he did. When I finished telling you, he lived 4 months after that. He was doing real good after the surgery. And he lived that 3 or 4 months after that. But he's still in the hospital. And I had a funeral that day of my brother-in-law. And I had to go to that. So I left down there, come to the funeral, did my part, which is all of it. I left, I started on back to the hospital, and the undertaker was trying to get in touch with us. And I'm glad he didn't, because if he had, I probably would have wrecked or something going there. But when we walked around that corner in the hospital, we just, I'm gonna turn this off, I forget to turn it off. We saw the nurse coming. She was gonna meet us before we got there and tell us. But when she did, we didn't even wait for her. We went down in that room, and of course, he had just passed away a little while before that, maybe an hour or two. And my daughter was sitting there holding him, crying. And I've never been through nothing like that before. Never have been since, and I hope I don't have to no more. But you know, we have to go through things. But the only thing we can do is, I keep saying, trust him. Trust him. But I went on, we had everything all right. My wife went and died. We'd been married 53 years, the first movie. And she passed away. I didn't have anything to worry about as far as her salvation, because she, as she always showed me in her life, and also told me. But it's still hard to lose a loved one. And the Lord sent another one along. That's how good God's been to me. But I just want to say to you this thing, and I'm going to get into the message, okay? Here's what I am. I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen?
Right.
Have you ever heard that before? I know he has. Anybody else? Okay. If you have it, it's fine. If you haven't, that's, you know something, you learned something this morning. Okay? I hope you learned some more stuff before you leave here. I read something the other day that stuck with me, and I want to share it with you. Don't ask the Lord to guide your footsteps. His footsteps, excuse me. Your footsteps in his steps. Okay? If you aren't willing to move your feet. That makes sense? Pretty good thought, isn't it? All right, let's get into the word. Micah chapter 5, and I think I preached this before here. But if I have, that's all right, because some of you probably don't even remember it. And also, some of you might even not know it anyway. But I hope that If you have heard it, maybe I tell you something that you didn't hear the other time. I know a whole lot of people that you can tell them something 1 minute, and the next half hour or so, they done forgot it. I'm that way sometimes. My wife would tell me something, she'd say, "Did you hear me?" I said, "No." And I didn't. So she tells me again. And then a little bit after that, I forget it anyway. But Micah chapter 5, and if you have a Bible like mine, that's 720, page 720. And I'm going to start reading verse 1 because it's talking about Israel. And I like to talk about Israel, but I don't talk about it a lot. Okay? Israel is God's chosen people. It says now in verse 1, "Now gather thyselves in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will I give them up until the time that she which travaileth have brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord." Get this now. "And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." Now, Faith Baptist Church might think that they're going down. But I'm here to tell you the church is not going down. It's going up.
Amen.
The church is not going down. I think about how Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, he didn't die for our sins just to be saying that he died for our sin. He died for our sin because he loved us. He loved the church. Did he not? I'm telling you, you know, most of us today have a vivid idea of the suffering of Christ. We have by faith seen him sweating great drops of blood there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we have looked on him with amazement while he gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them who plucked out the hair of his beard. We've seen all that by faith, and with sorrowful sympathy, we have followed him through the streets of Jerusalem, weeping with the women. We sat down to watch him when he was fastened to the cross. We have read his cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" All of this we've seen or read about. And we have followed his dead body to the tomb and seen it wrapped about with spices and left to its lonely sleep. But is our sight just as being concerned the glory which did follow? Can you see him when on the third morning the conqueror rises, he bursts the bonds of death with which he could not be held? He arose. He arose. He arose. And he lives today. He lives today. He's alive. And he's alive forevermore. Can we see him as that way? Can you as clearly see him ascending up on high, leading captivity captive? And do you plainly perceive him as he takes his seat at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for our sin, expecting until his enemies he made his footstool? Now, if you can go that far, then you can see what Micah saw here in verse 4. "And he shall stand and feed at the in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." We ought to be able to understand that in the mystery of the name of the Lord is God, and they shall abide. Can you be as clear about the reigning Christ as you have about the suffering Christ? The prophecy here of Micah pictures him standing in the kingdom age, but it's a glorious picture of the church. Glorious picture of the church. Here's the church, and they shall abide. That's who God was talking about, and they shall abide. Now, here are three truths about Jesus, about his church, and about his reign. And here are the three things about the church and how she shall abide. And let me share them with you this morning, and we'll go home around 1:30. Okay? I'm glad that the clock is back an hour, so it gives me an extra hour. It's just 20 minutes to 11. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can think about it. It'll be all right. You know, and I'm going to say it again. I said it a while ago, and I want you to get this thought in your mind. With all the things that are going on, this coronavirus, God's still in control.
Yeah.
He still knows what's going to happen.
Right.
He knows, because he's in control. He's the one that's got to do it. Amen? Amen. Now, I say to you today that he loves the church. And the church is, I say it again, the church is not going down, it's going up. Amen. I feel like this church is going to grow some myself before things happen like that. I really do. It may not be but a few, but it might be a whole lot. Just keep on praying, keep on being faithful to the Lord's house, and we'll see some things happening. I believe that.
Amen.
Remember what I said, okay? Remember what I said, preacher.
Amen.
And keep your trust in him.
Right.
All right. First of all, her strength is not earthly. And that means everything right there. Her strength is not earthly. Here's what it said. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Now, here's the picture of the Lord as he shall stand over Israel in that kingdom age. He'll reign over his people. According to Micah, the strength comes from the Father. I know it does. Flowing through the king and to the people. What a glorious picture we have here of our Lord. While he's now seated beside the Heavenly Father, it's through him that the Father blesses the church on this earth. He like a shepherd, and he is a shepherd, isn't he? Jesus Christ is our shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he restores my soul. Praise the Lord. The scripture says he shall stand and feed.
Amen.
And our blessings are not to be expected from this world. They come from the throne room of God.
Hallelujah.
Every blessing that you get comes from the throne room of God.
Amen.
You think the devil's going to bless you? Absolutely not. It comes from the throne room of God.
Yeah.
Bestowed upon us, not because we deserve it, no, but because he loves us, and through his love and care for us, that's what he does. Our Lord does not close his eyes to the need of his church. He is not an unconcerned spectator of our wants. He's feeding his people. Sometimes around the house there, it gets kind of short, so to speak. I ask my wife sometimes, what are we going to eat? I don't know. God's going to provide. And he does.
Right.
It gets mighty hard sometimes, but he does. I never thought back 10 years ago that I would be in the shape that I am and I ain't. Now listen to me. Don't you get feeling bad for me. I'm all right. because God promised me that he'd feed me. He feed them, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he loves all of us. He's not an unconcerned spectator. He's feeding his people. The Bible says he'll send a raven to feed in the wilderness. Think about Elijah. Elijah was in the wilderness of despair when God sent the ravens to feed him. Can you imagine a raven bringing you some food? It did Elijah, didn't he? God sent a raven to feed Elijah. In the wilderness of this world, our Lord will feed us. I'm not saying he's going to send a raven, but I believe he'll feed you. How many of you ever missed a meal? Maybe we needed to if we did, right? God might have thought we did. And what God thinks is what counts anyway.
Right.
He might have thought we did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, I felt like if from one meal to the other, I feel like I needed some more food, but I didn't usually get it. Sometimes I did, but I felt good about it. But the Bible says it, and David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You see, we can feast while our enemies are at fight.
Amen.
And our enemies are at fight. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the protesters are our enemies, but I can say this. They're kind of stupid about what they're doing. You believe what you want to. You stop and think about it.
Amen.
They're against God. And if they're against God, then they're just kind of stupid. I just want to tell you that. You may not like me for saying it, but I pray for those people myself. And I believe that God could take every one of them and save them. I believe that. But they don't want to be saved, I don't believe. They take things that don't make sense. To be protesting about it. Let me get it if you want me to. Can you make it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're doing things that are not of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The world is in a bad shape.
Yes, it is.
But it just shows me one thing. Look up! My redemption draweth nigh.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise
the Lord. All right, let's go on. That's number one. Her strength is not earthy. I ain't going to get through for 12. Her source is not empty. It says, and they shall abide. Now, when this day comes for Israel, she will have been scattered and abused for the last time. Israel's scattered now. 1948, they started going back to Israel, the Jews did, but they hadn't all got there yet. They still scattered. He'll stand in her midst as an eternal king, and after they've been abused for the last time. And this is going to be the day when Israel will dwell in a new built Jerusalem. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And as Hosea put it, he'll sit in his presence.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful to be sitting in God's presence?
Yeah.
What did the last time I was here, what did I do about telling you? Huh? His presence is here today.
Yeah.
You know how I know? Because he dwells within. Everywhere I go, he goes.
Right.
And don't say that I'm a good fellow all the time. I sin, come short of the glory of God just like everybody does. I hear the person say, and I can't quite agree with it. I know what they were talking about, and I know what they thought, but I don't quite agree with the way they said it. We're not sinners anymore when we get saved. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Right.
We sin and come short of the glory of God, don't we? We're still living in this flesh. And this flesh is sinful.
Yes.
He didn't save this flesh. If he'd have saved this flesh, maybe we wouldn't have been a sinner. But we still are. Yep. But one of these days when I get home, I'm going to be perfect. You may look at me now and say, look at all that mess on your face and scars and everything. Well, I'm in my flesh now. I'm not going to have them anymore. Amen. Brother Donnie ain't going to have to ride in that wheelchair anymore. I still call it a wheelchair. I don't know what y'all call it. So, what is the automatic wheelchair?
Power chair.
Anyway. Huh?
Motorized power chair.
Okay. All right. But he ain't going to have that when he gets to heaven.
Hallelujah. Amen. God.
He's going to have some new legs. He ain't going to fall no more.
Amen.
It's a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Glory.
The church still abides. You see, again, we have a glorious picture of the church in this world because of the unseen but most certain presence of Christ as King in the midst of his people. His church abides, and what a wonder that it is. A church in the world.
Amen.
It's perhaps the greatest miracle of all ages. That God has a church in the world, and the whole history of the church is a series of miracles.
Yeah.
A long stream of wonders. And just think of the trials the church has been subject to. The fire, the imprisonment, the banishment, the slander, all these have been tried. Yes, and all of them, the church has been more than conquerors through him who loved her. Can the devil and his crowd invent anything else to torment the church with? With all the false doctrines, the heresies, the hypocrisy, the formalism, the worldliness, and multitudes of other hurtful things. The church still abides, and it shall abide.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Remember that. Now, this is the last one, and I'll let you go. The shepherd is not ending. There's no end to it. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Israel had known the good kings and the bad kings, but all had passed from the scene. But now they have the eternal king, and he should be great for all eternity.
Amen.
All right. Israel mourned at the death of David, for he was a great king. But now the son of David, as the eternal king, is the eternal king, mourning over his death will never be. The third and final great blessing to the church is that we have an eternal shepherd loving us and watching over us.
Amen.
And let me give you his name. His name means a lot to me. And I can say this sometimes, and it starts at my feet and goes all the way through my head here when I say his name. So if anything happens to me this morning and I get all out of whack, you just say, thank you, Lord. But his name is Jesus. 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 Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. All right, he's great in the conversation. He's great in the conversation. He's great in the conversion of the sinner, and he's great in the consecration of every saint. And I say to you this morning, and I know that I had another thought, and I don't know where it's at. Anyway, let's go with it anyway. How about that? One of these days, when this life is over, we've got a better place to go to if we're saved.
Amen.
I heard the preacher talking about being saved just last night. And they were talking about being saved, and what did it mean by being saved? Could you get lost again? Not if you really got saved. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our sin. He keeps us saved.
Uh-huh.
If he's big enough to save us, he's big enough to keep us.
Yeah.
Now some people say, well, you know, I didn't quite make it. Some people don't even know. But I'm here to tell you, if you can really get right with the Lord, there's going to be some changes in your life. Because the Bible says that we're born in our, with Jesus Christ, and we are saved, we're a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's what it was. We're a new creation in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And thank the Lord for it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days, I'm going home. And I want you to meet me there. I want you to meet me in the air. And we'll go together. Or, if I'm here, and you're here, and he says, come up hither, we're gone. We'll be together.
Right.
Amen. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Well, I'd love to go with my wife, too. In fact, she told me this morning, somebody asked what was wrong with her. I'm going to tell you all so you know. She's a woman that she's pretty strict about being clean and stuff like that. I don't know how you know her, or if you know her to do good or what. I don't know. But I used to be able to throw my socks down and leave them there for a day or two. Not anymore. But that's all right. I'm learning things, see. I ain't too old to learn. In fact, I'm not getting old anyway. I'm getting a little so old. Amen. But she's got a cold sore right here, and it's getting bigger. And she just don't want nobody to see her when she gets something like that. And I can understand in a way. So I didn't say nothing about her coming. I wish she had. I wanted to. I didn't say nothing about it because I know how she is. Brother Don and Brother Bill probably, they might kid about it, but they probably say the same thing. If they tell you something, you better do it. Oh, I'm getting in trouble, so I'm going to be quiet. All right, let's bow our heads and bow our heads and pray. Anybody needs to come to the altar? Brother Bill and Brother Donnie might say, I need to, and I think I do too. So if you need to come to the altar today, just please do so. The Lord knows your heart. I don't